And you're listening to Out There on Valley Free Radio. I'm your host, Ruthie Woodring. Today is Tuesday, August 10th, 2021. For today's show, I have an interview with Yoav Elenevsky of Mass Peace Action. Yoav is an organizer or an instigator, a visionary behind a peace walk, a walk that's coming up the second week of September from Springfield to Boston. It's a week-long walk to gather signatures for a petition to support a moratorium, a five-year moratorium on building new prisons in Massachusetts. This is a bill that's been introduced in the State House. Joe Comerford is one of the sponsors. Anyway, Yoav was going to talk about prison stuff in Massachusetts and how he got involved in that and just details of the walk. But first, a word from Aretha Franklin. Before I go to Yoav's interview, I was trying to think if I have any stories from the day. I'm sure I must, but the only thing I can think of off the top of my head is I pulled into the transfer center today with a load of trash, and one of the other people that was dropping off stuff says to the gatekeeper, "It's going to be hot today. They say it's going to be hot today. It's going to be a hot one." And I was like, you know what? I have hot flashes all the time, so it comes, it goes, hot, I don't know, whatever. All right, here's Yoav.
My name is Yoav Elenevsky.
And Yoav and I are here at Mosaic Cafe. Today is Tuesday, August 2nd, 2021, right?
August 3rd, I think.
August 3rd?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Tuesday, August 3rd. Wait, oh, yeah. How'd you get here today?
Oh, I rode my bike from Amherst. I live in Amherst.
Wow.
It takes exactly 1 hour from my home to here.
Did you enjoy the ride?
Oh, I love it.
Nice.
I love it, yeah.
Did you grow up riding a bike?
Yes, I grew up with bike. Actually, my mother told me when I got as a birthday present or a bike when I was a young boy, I slept with one hand holding the bike.
Uh-huh.
That's how much I like bikes. I still love it.
So we're here because Yoav is one of the organizers. Or are you like the main organizer of this peace walk coming up?
I wouldn't say I'm the main organizer. I initiated. I came up with the idea. There is an organization of incarcerated and freed women in Massachusetts. It's called the National Council. So it's organization by women who are incarcerated for women who are incarcerated. And, you know, I'm working with Massachusetts Peace Action. And about a year ago, we organized a webinar on the issue of incarceration of women. The rate of incarceration of women is increasing in the United States, while overall men rate of incarceration is going down, women rate is increasing. So we invited the leader of this organization. Her name is Andrea James. She is, herself was sentenced to 18 months in prison for some, she's a lawyer, but there was some wire transfer misdeed or something, and she was put in jail. And this experience turned her life, and she became totally dedicated to end incarceration of women and girls in this country. So we invited her to this webinar a year ago to talk about incarceration of women and also to talk about the issue of reparation.
I'm going to interrupt this real quick to say, Yoav is talking about the National Council for Incarcerated and Formerly Incarcerated Women and Girls. When he says the National Council for Incarcerated and Formerly Incarcerated Women and Girls.
Reparation. And so we started a friendship with her since then. And so I contacted her and said, listen, here in Western Massachusetts, I enjoy walking with the Peace Pagoda people. Usually we walk on Hiroshima Day, and I thought it was a great idea. How about taking a walk, collecting signatures for a petition in support of a bill in Massachusetts to put a moratorium for 5 years on building new prisons? Because Governor Baker would like to spend $50 million to build a new women prison in Massachusetts. Well, Andrea James loved the idea. She said she's going to walk too. Her daughter will walk too. The National Council is a very successful organization. They have tremendous infrastructure and so on, people, staff. They have many connections in New England around the issue of clemency campaigns for women who are in prisons. So now Peace Action, National Council, are the main organizers of this. And so, you know, anybody that I talk to about this idea really love the idea.
Yeah, yeah.
So we are doing it. I'm focusing on the actual work, the details of the work itself. We have a great team that we meet every week to plan the work, including faculty and students and community members, and it's really great project. So that's how it's moving now.
So the walk is the second week of September from Springfield to Boston?
Right. We're going to start in Springfield and, as I said, collect signatures on a petition to support the bill, which our representative, Joe Comerford, introduced in the Senate. And I don't remember, I think the name, a representative called Taylor introduced an identical bill in the State House. And so we will try to build support for it, and then we will end up in the State House in Boston We have a press conference with Joe Comerford and other representatives, and we will present the petition of signatures in support of the moratorium bill to the governor or to the in the state house. We'll figure out who to deliver it to. So that is the plan. We will start in Springfield and then hop to Route 9 and then walk from West Broomfield, I think it's called, all the way to Worcester. In Worcester, we hope to have quite a few events, community events, campus events at Clark University and at Worcester State University. After walking in Worcester from Worcester State University to the prison, which is in the suburb of Worcester, that will be a one-day walk. The next day, we will hop to Framingham and have a rally outside the women's prison in Framingham. And then we will walk from the prison in Framingham to Boston via Wellesley College. Then the next day, we will be in Cambridge and hope to bring along with us students from Harvard, from MIT, from BU, from Northeastern, try to bring the students, sending the message that we want a fundamental change in the way we deal with prisons and punishments.
This is very exciting. I can't wait to come along. When you say hop, you mean there'll be some car shuttling? Because what's the total mileage would be 90 or some miles?
It's about 90 miles from Springfield to Boston, and we are going to basically drive 30 miles.
And walk like 60.
And walks about 60 miles.
Yeah. Yes. Any idea how many people might come along?
Well, you know, there is a very nice registration form on the web. Every day there are more and more people joining. So right now I think there are about 40 people that we give option to people. You can come only to a rally, or you can walk with us for one day, or for half a day, or for 1 hour. So on the website, we specify exactly where we're going to be every day, and people can go on to the website and decide what they want to do, how they can support this project.
So moving 40 people and like finding places for them to stay, how is that all going to work?
Well, basically, one night in Springfield, I think 3 nights in Worcester, and then in Boston. If people need a place to sleep, we will arrange a place to sleep in Worcester or Springfield.
Yeah. You'll find like host churches or schools or community centers or something.
Also, as I said, the National Council has the resources, and we also hope to raise funds for National Council, but also to cover the cost of the march.
You're listening to an interview with Yoav Elenevsky of Massachusetts Peace Action. This is Out There on Valley Free Radio. I'm your host, Ruthie Woodring. We've got a bunch more of that interview with Yoav. When he says the National Council, he's talking about the National Council for formerly incarcerated women and girls. It's a mouthful, but something like that. And if you want information on the walk, you can go to the Massachusetts Peace Action website and click on racial justice /decolonization.
But also to cover the cost of the march.
What about food?
We will provide food as well for the workers.
If people want to contribute.
In the website for the march, there is also an option to donate. Yeah. So people can donate, and that will help cover the cost. So we can help people with sleeping arrangement. We can help people with food as well.
So the core group of you that are having these weekly meetings, the organizing group, what kinds of like events or educational events have you been able to schedule, or are you trying to schedule so far?
So the first day in Springfield, we will start next to the Hampton Courthouse in downtown Springfield. And then we will start the walk. At the end of that day, in the evening in Springfield, we hope to have a community event. The details are not worked out yet. We are in contact with Arise for Social Justice, in Springfield, and we'll try to see if we can organize a community event in Springfield to talk about the issue, you know. I mean, we need to remember that if you compare the rate of incarceration in the United States to anywhere else in the world, it is outrageously high, you know. I mean, Massachusetts is about half the rate of the United States, but it's still, even the rate of incarceration in Massachusetts is greater than the incarceration rate in UK, in Portugal, in Canada, in Italy. Look at that. It is amazing.
Yeah.
And so I think that what we are trying to do is, you know, I see a similarity in the action paradigm here. The focus on violence and punishment and force. So it is the same paradigm in foreign policy. We don't like the government in Cuba, so we are going to impose sanctions for 60 years and make 11 million people suffer and punished because they picked a government that we don't like. Or in Venezuela, how do you deal with the problem? Blanket sanctions that kill tens of thousands of people. How do you deal with the issue of drugs, addiction to drugs, mental problem? It looks like the answer to every problem is violence and punishment. This is a colonial legacy, and I think we want a different world, right? I don't know if you saw the movie by Michael Moore, Who to Invade Next?
No, but I heard of it.
You see that?
I didn't actually see it.
He goes to Norway and to Portugal and to ask them to see how they deal with the issue of prisons.
Uh-huh.
It's a total different paradigm. It's about treatment.
Yeah.
It's about building up the life of the person. It's helping the person. Here it's just violence. It's just more trauma. More punishment. You know?
Why do you think it's so hard for the United States to move away from that paradigm?
The way I see it, it's about money, profit. Look at the war in Iraq or the war in Afghanistan. Who benefited from it? I mean, forget about the nonsense that President Bush is saying that he cares about Afghani women, and that's why he justified the occupation of, and killing hundreds of thousands of people and causing millions of people to be refugees because you care about something, you know? It doesn't make any sense. It is totally destructive for Afghanistan. It is destructive for us, taking our resources away. Who benefited from it? The military industrial complex. Who benefited from $50 million more prison?
I know, I have a friend locked up in a rural prison in Virginia, and it's like, he's like in this prison that was just built just for profit. And just, it's just so frustrating.
It is.
But like, those people that you love who are in that situation, it's just like, oh.
Yeah.
So, profit, right?
Yeah, for profit. I mean, you can take the $50 million and imagine and invest in the reason that people end up selling drugs or end up with a problem, you know, by helping with jobs, helping with treatment, helping with housing. I mean, instead, the $50 million, who is going to benefit from it? The construction companies that build the prison and the operators of the prisons. It is totally unreasonable, and I think that it's time to change it.
It's like no one wants to lose their job, but I mean, if your job is at the expense of someone else's life, then maybe you can't find an option.
That is a big problem, because that's usually, you know, that's when it comes to the military industrial complex or the prison industrial complex, it provides jobs.
Uh-huh.
What kind of jobs?
Yeah.
What is the impact of this kind of a job on a human being, on a family of this person that is working there, on us as a society? You know, it is the most absurd job. You build a prison, you build a weapon. It's not helping anybody.
Yeah.
you're spending money, our money, it's public money.
Yeah.
Then you use it and it's gone. I mean, it's ridiculous. So I think that it's you ask me why is it? I think it has to do with the reason is because it brings profit to certain sector in our society, and our economic system is promoting it.
And why do you think that? I mean, other countries, people want to make profit there too, and they want employment there too. Why haven't they gone down the direction we have? How is like is the power distributed differently, or what do you think? Or social cultural values?
I think it has to do with social values. Here is extreme individualism, and the profit motivation is basically what run this country.
And like, how would you tie it to racism and classism?
And then, of course, we need to remember that. I mean, I have some numbers here to share with you. I mean, the United States has less than 5% of the world population, but 20% of the world incarcerated people. So one out of every five people which is arrested in the world is in the United States. Other amazing information, MCI Framingham, that's the women's prison right now in Massachusetts, it cost the state $117,000 to keep a woman in prison.
Well, $117,000 per woman per year?
Per year. Yeah, more than 30% of the women incarcerated in MCI Framingham are age 50 or older. You know, these women should be released. They are mothers, they are grandmothers. 60% of the women in prison are mothers, by the way. And talking about racism and the legacy of slavery and colonialism, African American are 13% of the U.S. population, but they make up 40% of the incarcerated people. One out of every nine people in prison is serving life sentence, and half of this population are African Americans.
Yeah, right. There's like statistics about what percentage of people locked up are African American or people of color. It really changes dramatically when you look at the severity. Like the more severe crime, the more severe sentences, and the lengths of those sentences.
The vast majority of incarcerated women are in county jails or state prisons, and